Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Golf Unfiltered podcast is brought to you by our friends over at Cog Hill Golf and Country Club. You've heard me talk about Cog Hill every single episode this season, and we will continue to do so because they are one of the premier golf destinations in the Chicagoland area. Featuring 72 holes of championship golf, including the world-famous Dubs Dread, Cog Hill has just upgraded their entire practice academy to include top tracer, two bars, a food truck, and a full family experience that anyone will enjoy. Go out to coghillgolf.com to learn more. We are also brought to you by our friends over at worldwidegolfshops.com. If you're looking to upgrade your game this year, or if you're just trying to pick up some new pieces of golf apparel, or even some training aids to help you score better, worldwidegolfshops.com has you covered. The best part about this website is they always offer incredible deals on some of the newest equipment, even just days after its release. Once again, it's worldwidegolfshops.com. Welcome to the Golf Unfiltered podcast, your source for all things golf, including in-depth interviews, new equipment highlights, and answers to golf questions you might be too afraid to ask. My goal? To help you learn more about the game so you can enjoy it even more. Let's dive in. All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Golf Unfiltered podcast, and hello to everyone in YouTube land. You know me. I'm Adam Fonseca, the host of the Golf Unfiltered podcast. You know Nikki Dunnigan, my partner in crime over at Golf Unfiltered. Nikki, how are you today?
I'm good.
So we also have a third person on screen here. This is a first for at least this format that we're using. Aaron Chuning is the... Are you the co-founder, the sole founder of St. Andre Golf?
Co-founder. I think there's four of us that helped launch our little content baby.
Awesome. And so we're going to get all into everything St. Andre Golf. But Nikki, my understanding is that you and Aaron have done karaoke together, which is far more impressive than anything I can think of. You guys just are good friends, even though you said you've only met face-to-face one time.
Yeah, Aaron and I have been internet friends for a while. We both live in Atlanta. We've lived through the high highs of Atlanta sports and the very low lows of Atlanta sports, unfortunately. And I don't even have to mention what games those were for you to know what those are. Aaron, he's also the co-host of another great podcast that I listen to all the time and is hilarious. I'm sure, Aaron, this is kind of weird for you. Is it weird for you to be on the other side of this instead of like being the one asking the questions?
Honestly, no. I've always done like some on-camera stuff, some mostly behind. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's just all over the place. Happy to do either side.
Well, he's the co-host of a podcast called No Worries If Not, which is very hilarious. And you should definitely go listen to it after you're done listening to our podcast.
Of course.
And if you don't know, he's also a Vine legend. I'm sure that's probably where most of you have seen him from. Blocked by Tim Tebow and Applebee's on Twitter. And as we mentioned, the king of karaoke as well. So we're very excited to have you here today. And, we're also going to talk a lot about your new, content creation, St. Andre Golf, which people are talking a lot about. I saw you got mentioned in Golf Digest.
Yeah, that was a big surprise. I didn't see it for a few hours and someone sent it to me, but yeah, that was awesome, and the whole little community has welcomed us with open arms so far, which has been amazing. But yeah, that intro was great. Glad we have this on video so I can just watch it every day as a little pep talk.
Well, that's what we aim to do here at Golf Unfiltered, is just little pep talks and make sure that we just keep things going.
Go ahead. It's working.
Well, I think the last time I saw you, you were riding on the top of a tour bus in the Braves World Series parade, going like 80 miles per hour down Peachtree Street. What was that like for you to be on that like World Series parade bus? And first of all, how did you get on that World Series
Yeah, it was a lot of. I felt like a con artist being up there. It didn't make any sense. Yeah, I've said like it's beyond bucket list, you know, because that wasn't even on my radar of something I could do. Kind of gave up baseball dreams when I was 12 and everyone else went through puberty and I did it. And all of a sudden they're throwing 80 miles per hour and my skull's not hard. yeah, I've worked with the Braves on a bunch of projects over the years and just have some good relationships there. I know through COVID, a lot of sports teams, including the Braves, kind of, you know, had to downsize a little bit, maybe cut some people they didn't want to cut, including their social media department. So once we won the World Series, I know the Braves were not expecting to do that, at least the front office, like all the fans, you know, we were trade deadline thinking maybe we should punt and just see what's up next year. But then we did it. And so all of a sudden they have to get ready for this parade that no one was expecting, and they needed a few extra angles for that parade. So that was like, she got a random call saying, hey, do you want to go hang out on the buses and just shoot some content and post whatever you want?
Wow.
So I said, hell yeah, absolutely. And it was one of the best days ever. Yeah, had a blast. It was just surreal. Just seeing Atlanta that happy, you know?
After like being so sad. After the Falcons, like, yeah.
Being so sad forever, yeah. And I did, like, even Atlanta United, I'm a big fan, but, you know, it just doesn't feel the same. I also wasn't in town when we won, so there's just so many different factors that made it one of the best days of my stupid little life. I had a blast.
Well, okay, I want to ask this too, because you love the Braves so much, and you love baseball so much. What, and now you have this, like, you have St. Andre Golf, what made... But it was surprising to me to see this golf company come about. Not that I think that you don't know anything about golf, because obviously I've seen you playing golf and stuff before, but what made you switch from like being all about creating content for the Braves and for baseball? And like, I know you've done stuff for Atlanta United before, but like, what made you switch from going like baseball, Atlanta sports to golf stuff?
Yeah, for sure. I love both sports, love a ton of different sports, but, you know, I'm a baseball fan. I can't really play it anymore. Where golf, I'm playing it every weekend.
That makes sense.
It's also just the most fun I have is being out there with friends I don't get to see a ton, you know, friends with families or that live far away. We'll always get together and spend those 4 hours together, and it's the most fun I have. So this is kind of getting into the entire origin story, but yeah, just kind of thinking, hey, I have all these pieces, all these very funny people, very talented video people. I've done this for brands for forever. Like, what can I build? Where do I want to be in 10, 20 years? And I was like, I want to be playing golf with my best friends. And if I could make that part of my job, then that is the dream. So we just kind of put our heads together and like, how can we make this a thing? And, once that idea came up, I went to a coffee shop and I was like, let's just write some sketches and see what happened. And I wrote like 7 pages where I was like, all right, this the well is deep and we could have a lot of fun with this. So I don't know. It felt pretty natural. I mean, there was definitely an aspect of like seeing a lane open a little bit, you know, people doing like a lot of relatable stuff where you have like the fratty shit.
Right.
Sorry. No, I should have asked.
Say whatever you want.
We're dirty.
You can cut unfiltered.
Like, come on. Yeah. Yeah. you know, you got the Barstool stuff, and then you got the really good golfers and trick shot guys. But I was like, I don't know if anyone's really doing like high, like produced sketch stuff. So yeah, that's kind of it. Like, always loved golf, been playing since I was a kid. And then over COVID fell back in love with it. And it just felt like the right time to kind of build something and go after it.
So Aaron, how many people are involved in the production team? Like, you had mentioned, there's obviously a number of people that appear on camera, but I imagine there's others behind the camera as well.
Yeah, it's pretty much one guy. It's our friend Seth Kark, who we've worked together the last few years a ton, and it's just he's an army of one. You know, he's doing audio. He's, you know, it's not like we need a bunch of lighting being out there, but it's just one camera, and he edits everything. We work together enough. He's very funny. So usually when I get a V1 back of the edits, I get very close. Mm. Like he'll add jokes in the edit I didn't even think of, and we just got a good thing going. But yeah, it's pretty much him. He's a very funny, very talented video guy, and if he leaves, we are screwed.
Well, you mentioned, like, you know, your content being so different from, like, some of the other stuff that's out there. And I think, you know, when you first came to me and mentioned that you were doing this, I think that's why I was so excited about it, because I know I've mentioned this on this podcast before, too, is that there's such a huge audience for this kind of content, because most of, like, the golf memes that you see are, like, bro memes and, like, let's go smash 45 beers and, like, get away from our wives for the weekend when our wives and kids and go play golf and, like, you know, or for myself, for, like, a girl, it's, like, you know, let's see how little clothing we can wear while we're out on the course and, you know, while we're playing. And it's frustrating because there's people out there who just want to play golf and have a good time, like you were saying, you know, with your friends. And I think that's what makes this content so instantly relatable and so instantly likable. And I think that's why, like, in your first, you guys launched, what, the beginning of last week? It's been a week, maybe two, since you guys launched. And it's already
Been 9 days right now.
Millions of views already. Like, you guys are crushing it. And so it's, I think that's why it's been so big and so awesome. And I know that's why I love it so much, but I know that there's so many other people who have made the same comments. I know my favorite video by far has been the one of Gil, the ball snatcher, the ball hog. Yeah. That one's been the best one. I'm sure there's going to be more of the music videos as well. The mental health triple, coming
there's
down
a few,
the line.
Yeah. We got a couple on deck, and we're going to do a couple different genres. Very excited about that. But what you said about the whole, I don't know, just we were, when we kind of thought about the angle we wanted to take, you know, I think we realized we're all kind of dive bar type guys. Like we're more comfortable in a shitty bar doing karaoke than we are at a country club. Mm-hmm. And kind of old golf and even like the culture of golf is something that I don't necessarily love. You know, I'll go play it with a couple friends or country clubs, and you're sitting in like a gentleman's lounge where women are not allowed, and you overhear some just insidious shit. and it's just kind of like, this is not what I see when I golf, and we're just kind of going for those people and not catering to that kind of old money crap. Mm-hmm. And also that one of the first videos we posted is the one that kind of blew up on TikTok, was the dumbest guy you know is what we called it.
So good.
That was a little strategic. I knew a lot of guys would get mad at that. And it's something, if someone makes those, you know, hit it with your purse, I don't think they're a piece of shit for making that joke, but every piece of shit I know loves those jokes. You know what I mean? And that's like, that's who we're talking about. And so that was kind of like, we wanted to come out of the gate with something that's like, hey, we're not the barstool tone of like, my bitch wife won't let me play 9 more holes. Like, you know? But yeah, and it was a little bit of like, edgelord Alex Jones marketing, kind of, where like people are going to get mad, they're going to anger share, they're going to start conversations, but they're going to comment and the algorithm's going to like it.
And it was brilliant and it worked.
Funny just being like, it kind of worked and they kind of took the bait and good. And I'll get called a libtard cuck soy boy a million times. I don't really care.
So. That's all right. I do too, Aaron. It's not a problem. That's something that I get called often. Now, if it's any testament to what you're doing, though, is so Nikki originally made me aware of it. I choked on whatever I was drinking at the rangefinder video because it was so funny. Sent it to my wife, who I'm actually playing golf with today, along with two other women. So I'm the only guy in the group. And
awesome. She
absolutely loves all the videos you're doing. It's absolutely fantastic. You've hit a good tone here. And I know it's only been 9 days, but I know you've been thinking of these things for much longer. And as Nikki had mentioned, you've got the background with the social media snippets from Vine, which is something that I think is important to point out. Your videos, they're within the 3 minutes. Some are 30 seconds long. That is not easy to do in a clean edit to get a, at least in your case, a comical point across, and you do it so well. I mean, your background in doing these types of videos, is it just something you picked up? Is it something you went to school for? How did you get into this?
Yeah, it's kind of, what we're doing now is kind of a perfect storm of all of the different things I've done in my career. I mean, I have a formal film background, went to film school and kind of did the big set thing for a little bit and tried to figure out where I fit there. Vine happened, and I really love the short form aspect of it. Done a ton of stand-up, and even when I have done that, I just kind of am geared toward like the wordplay, yeah. You know, try not to just be like a pun only dad joke type guy, but that's just kind of, I think, my natural humor and how my brain works. And it was kind of training me and forming my brain when I was, you know, early mid 20s doing Vine and just kind of thinking like set up punchline. And this is what I've done for a career for a long time is short form social content for brands. So it's stuff that, you know, my stuff has always just been as I'm inspired, I'll put something out, but I've never really gone after my brand. That's always felt inauthentic to me a little bit. Like I didn't go from Vine to YouTube like a lot of people did and started vlogging and doing reaction videos. I just never felt like what I wanted to do. So, yeah, it's kind of like the formal film background, short form social media. It just all kind of led to this point where I was like, what can we build right in our sweet spot? And that turned into St. Andre.
Speaking of wordplay and things, I'm actually kind of annoyed at you at the moment because I made a very, very clever wordplay comment on one of your videos recently. At least I thought it was very clever, and you did not acknowledge it. I thought it was.
I missed it. So I don't even know what you're talking about. So
I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was hilarious. It was on the Gil video, and you were talking about how great of a job that Gil had, and I said, "Do they match the 40 Pro V1K benefits or contributions?"
Pretty good.
Yeah,
that's very good. Yeah, yeah. I didn't see it, and this is kind of a nightmare I didn't know I had, where people who leave comments can look me in the face and tell me the comment and see if I like it, because I can't hide.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah. No, you can't hide. No. And now.
Thank God that was good. I figured it was good when you said that. But if it wasn't good, I would have shit. I'm terrified.
Listen, I know when my content's good too. Okay. So.
You do. I know you do. Very, very funny. I know this.
So let's talk a little bit about St. Andre Golf. I mean, so as of right now, and just for the listener's sake and those watching on YouTube, you can go out to standre.golf and you're going to see a landing page that says launching soon. So I don't want to put you on the spot, Aaron, too much, but to the detail that you can go into to not spoil surprise, what is St. Andre Golf?
Yeah, that's a great question. We're figuring that out. yeah, kind of just the team we put together. It's me, my friend Robbie, who we were Vine friends originally. He's worked in social media for Twitter and a couple other companies. He's just very smart in the social and marketing side. Our friend Colin McHugh, who plays for the Braves, is part of it, which is great. Braves. Go Braves. And then Jared Erickson is a good friend of mine and my favorite designer. Nick, you'd probably know this brand, Brother Moto. It's based in Atlanta. It's my favorite brand. It was a motorcycle coffee shop, like motorcycle repair shop and coffee shop combo. And every piece of gear that came out with, I bought. I loved it. So we got him on board. He's been amazing. So it's kind of like, I think we can make great comedic content that people aren't really doing. And I think we could potentially do a really cool apparel brand that people aren't really doing either. That's a little more, little more edgy. It kind of has that retro vibe, but a little more like motorcycle dive bar type stuff that I would want to wear to lunch after playing. I don't like going with my Titleist hat and, you know, whatever bright polo. Like, it just doesn't feel like me. I do it for golf, but we're trying to come up with stuff that's a little different. So that's kind of where we're headed. We've been having a lot of conversations with clothing brands, and the pieces are still kind of falling into place. But funny content, we want to be creators in the golf space, and we also want to make some edgier apparel that is a little different. And I know a lot of people are doing that, but I do think there's a lane there for us when it comes to Jared and his specific thing he does.
I absolutely think there's a lane there too, because I know, I think we've talked about this before, like, and we have I have like a whole girls group chat too where we talk about and just absolutely annihilate different logos from golf courses. And there are certain tournaments where we just refuse to buy the merch from because the logos are just ugly. And my husband and I have gone to tournaments before where, you know, we collect flags from tournaments and things, and we get so disappointed when we go to get the flag because they either don't have the course flag and it's the tournament flag and the tournament flag is just ugh, or it's like, oh, we really love this tournament, but the like tournament like logo and the flag is just not going to be great. So we kind of like hide it. And so I think there's absolutely a market for that and that like apparel, because if you get a good logo and like good logo design, people will buy the merch like regardless. So I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I walk through PGA Superstore and it's a struggle to find something that I'm like, I like that, you know, and that feels like something that I could wear outside of golf. That is kind of a goal of ours, is like something you would want to wear. We would want, I don't say like we would want to wear, you know, afterwards out at a bar, go to a brewery. Cause we're not frat guys. We don't love wearing the polos and just khaki shorts and loafers, you know,
right.
Which is great. It's just not us. So, yeah, I think that's going to be kind of our secret sauce. It's weird trying to marry the two of like very goofy content and then like very cool brand. But we're trying. And even initially the last week and a half, like the thumbnails we're using, we're trying just to establish like a good looking aesthetic a little bit, as opposed to just like meme-y type chaotic content, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now the logo and like the name Saint Andre, it's named after your No Worries If Not co-host Andrew Stanley, right? That's where you got
it. Is
the
not
name
it is not that. But yeah, he likes to say that. Yeah, no, the initial origin was something that felt like it could be a cool clothing brand is the big thing. Like we didn't want to do like you know, bogey bitches or whatever the hell, you know, all those, like everything, like a golf pun. We didn't want to do right. that. We wanted something that like could just look cool on a shirt.
Par
and didn't have to be like,
bros, like
100%. There's so many of those.
Hold on, let me write them.
Yeah. Or like, yeah, birdie, bogey, rough, you know, wedge, what, there's just a ton, which I get it. And it kind of tells people what you are immediately. So I understand. We kind of took St. Andrews, obviously the home of golf, the origin, and wanted to make it a little more hip and potentially inclusive and just kind of mess with it. We realized all four of us who started it just adore Outkast. So Andre 3000
is
on my wall right here.
I can't believe I didn't make that connection.
But it's just like there's a little Atlanta in there. There's the home of golf. There's like a little – it just felt like the right thing. So we had a few different options but landed on that, and we like it as a clothing brand. We just like saying it. It just felt like the right title.
I can't believe I didn't make that connection with Outkast. Like now I feel like a not Atlantean. I cannot believe that.
Well, I mean, it's with golf. It just, you don't think of,
like, I didn't.
Hip-hop,
yeah, I know.
Immediately,
like,
usually
I don't think of Outkast and golf, but like now,
I know.
Man.
Yeah, we've had a few, you know, we have our goals kind of written out, and like one of the big pie in the sky ones is, how can we get Andre 3000 to do a drop with us, be in some content? That's, I don't know. We'll see.
That would be amazing. Yeah. So
get Andre 3000 to play at the Players Championship concert.
It's going to reverse COVID is what
it's going to reverse COVID.
We have
to play.
You know, like PGA Memes just had his tournament. Like we've thought about doing like, you know, a tournament comedy show and trying to get someone there. I was like, if we could get Andre to show up, do a little something, it'd be special.
Nice. So prior to this, Nikki, as we said at the intro, she let me know that you guys sang karaoke before, and you are the karaoke king. Is this a favorite pastime of yours?
Well, so that can mean a couple things.
Okay.
I do it more than most everyone. I do it a lot. So maybe a king in that aspect, like quantity, the quality, kind of sus. But like, I do it hard. So a king is, you know, but you know what I'm saying. I don't want to
definitely
sit here and pretend like I'm Blake Shelton's turning his chair around at every bar I'm at. Like, I just do it a lot. And did I buy this condo that's two blocks away from the Live Bank karaoke bar I go to a lot for that reason?
Maybe. Everyone buys a condo.
It was a factor for sure.
Well, I know that Nikki had put together. You had put together, Nikki, a list of golfers, and maybe if we were to do some association here, first thing that comes to mind, what would these golfers' karaoke song be? I think was the goal that you had put together. Do I have that right, Nikki?
Yeah. Let's. I want to go through this list of golfers, and because I know you also have, like, not only do you karaoke a lot, but you also have like very strong opinions about karaoke, and like the song choices that people choose, and like what songs you should do, and how early you should do them in the night, and wow. Like. You know,
I sound like a big asshole.
No. I just know that you've talked about this a lot.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm vibing with all of this. I get all of this.
Yeah. You're but the opinions, right. I just want to say, like, it's based in, hey, let's everyone have fun and not be super serious. Doesn't matter if you're good. Like, let's have fun.
I'm not sitting back there being like,
they're pitchy, you know?
No. I'm saying, like, your opinions are like, you know, you don't go up there at like 9:30, you know, or 11:30 at night and sing Les Mis. Like that's, mm-mm. You know, yeah. Like those levels of opinions I'm talking.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So because of that, because I know you have some like, you know, strong opinions and because you have like your own kind of favorite songs and stuff. I wanted to go through this list of golfers and think like what songs you think they would sing. And also, do you think they would be good performers? Like, do you think they like would have the pipes to actually perform?
Sure. One little mini disclaimer is I feel like I'm like a watch Sunday sometimes. So I'm not like super. I don't know the personalities a ton. I just know probably like the very surface level stuff. So I might be completely off here.
That's okay.
But we'll
try.
Perfect. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's even better.
But if you're ever like, this doesn't make sense, just let me know and we'll figure it out.
Oh, yeah. Well, some of these you're definitely going to know. For sure. Yeah. Well, we'll start with the FedEx Cup champion, Rory McIlroy. I think that will be an easy one.
He's a good time. I feel like he would want to get the people going. And I feel like he'd rip through a Mr. Brightside. You know, he's not going to do a deep cut or like a 10,000 miles. Because that, are they Irish? The Proclaimers?
I was just thinking, you know what I mean? Wait a minute. How did that sound? And I think it would sound amazing.
I hear him in a pub, like kind of, you know, being a little sauce, getting the people going.
Right.
Yeah, but I can hear him dropping the accent when he gets into like a song, though. Because like, obviously he would hear it as an American song, so I could hear the accent like coming out. Isn't that how singing works?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was just thinking, like, do we do that with like Beatles songs? Like when we hear a Beatles song, do I immediately turn British? I don't know. I'm gonna think about this the rest of the weekend.
And also, we think everyone sounds American when they sing. Do British people think everyone sounds British when they sing?
Good question.
Adele,
I don't know,
doesn't sound British when she sings.
No,
she sounds like a.
But do British people think she does? Ooh. Like, do you just kind of hear what you want to hear? You know what I mean?
Oh,
I don't know.
That is a philosophical question.
I have no idea.
The plot thickens here. I'm gonna have to write all this down because
we need to phone a friend. Anybody know a British person?
No.
Dang.
That is a very philosophical question.
Yeah.
We're covering a lot of ground here on today's show.
Let's scrap the list and let's figure this out. Let's go to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
How about number two, Nikki? I've got Scottie Scheffler on the list.
Well, what is your Scottie vibe? What's the public opinion?
Well, he's from Texas, and he's still driving his college car. Was it like a Honda, like a Nissan? So I think I was thinking like something country, like something Brooks and Dunn.
Neon Moon.
Yep. Yeah.
You could see him being a Neon Mooner for sure. Maybe some ZZ Top, little old band from Texas. You know, I think he could drop some LaGrange on him, probably.
Yeah,
I like that.
But would he do it? Would he do it wearing the green jacket, like, or?
I feel like he could. He lets loose a little bit, right?
I think.
Or so. Is he not? Is he a little okay?
I honestly don't know. I know that the public opinion, at least that I've seen, is that he's kind of down to earth, doesn't get too wild, but I think you put a few in him. I mean, the LaGrange, like you said, might come out.
He wore the green jacket when he threw out the first pitch at what baseball game was that? The Rangers game?
Yep.
So, but I think that was more of a marketing thing than like a, I'm going to do this thing. Like, I think they probably made him do that. So I don't know if like he would just be like, I'm going to wear the green jacket to karaoke. Like people drink out of the Stanley Cup or like, you know, drink out of the wine maker, you know. I wonder
if they give them like there's the real one and then decoy jackets so you can wear to stuff.
I think ever since
Gary Player
took his jacket home and then it never showed back up. Mm-hmm. I think they probably do that. Yes, very much.
Yeah,
so.
That makes sense. Like here's one for your trophy case. Then here's like five for appearances. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, here's the jacket that does not leave the Augusta National property. And then you can wear this one when you come back. And then here's one that if you lose it, it's okay because it's not real. Like
100%. That's like Braves rings. They should give them the real one, but then the one they can wear out that still sparkle a little bit in photos, you know?
That they also sell at the concession stand on top of the burger. That
Yeah.
That was like, what, $25,000?
Is it on top of the burger?
Mike,
they tried to make them eat it? I don't know.
I don't know if it was actually on top of the burger, but like there was the burger that was like $25,000 or something that came with the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's such a weird little marketing thing they did, but it worked for some people, I'm assuming.
Because at that point, why are you spending $25,000 to get, like, you're not getting the burger. You're just paying for the ring. Like,
that's right. Throw the burger away.
Yeah. True.
Okay. We're digressing. I have another one on the list, but I kind of want to skip to see what you're going to say for this one. I want to see what you think for Bryson DeChambeau.
All right.
Because I know you have opinions about Bryson.
I feel like he would do something that he thinks is funny that is not funny.
Mm. Yep.
Like a Bloodhound Gang song?
Like what?
Like a Bloodhound Gang song or something?
Potentially, yeah. Or a maybe Tequila, you know, because that's like people have done that the last few years. And he's going to be like, no one's heard this. This would be funny. And you're like, we've seen the videos, dude. Like,
yeah.
But also, I'll laugh because you could beat my ass. But like, it's not funny.
His entourage would laugh. And it would go on, would go on YouTube. And he would have that header that was like... Watch me sing this really funny karaoke song. Right. And it would have like the little header of him singing. Yeah, I could see it.
Right. Or there's the ones that are like, they're funny for the first verse and then it goes on for 4 minutes and you're like, you know, or like something someone can't sing. So he's going to do like Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield. And you're like, you can't hit those notes. What are we doing? Like it comes on. You're like, no way he's singing this. And then you're like, oh my God, dude, go home.
Oh.
I can see that.
I want to see him sing Unwritten.
Oh, man.
I can see it.
Incredible. I mean, his smash brother in arms, whether or not they would admit it, Brooks Koepka, I mean, he'd have to be the next follow-up to that.
Yeah. I've never been more sure someone's tone-deaf just by, like, the way they are than him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it would sound... like ass. It'd be bad. I saw him dancing to Usher. Did he come to their wedding?
No, it was Luda, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was Luda. Yeah, okay. I had in my head. So I could see him doing something fun and being a surprisingly good time, but it sounding horrific.
Mm. I feel like maybe? Frosted Tips Koepka is the karaoke Koepka. That's his alter ego.
Yeah,
he probably stuck with like Ryan Cabrera to match the tips, you know.
I think that's pretty spot on. Like he would like Bryson would sing something that like he thinks is fun, but like it isn't going to be. And like Brooks would sing something that it is going to be fun, but it's not going to sound good. Like Brooks is still going to be a good time, but the sound quality is not going to be good at all.
Yeah. Or one of my least favorite things is when someone picks a fun song, but then they go at least an octave lower. You know what I mean? So like he'd pick like TikTok by Kesha, but he's just like TikTok on the clock and it just like the energy vibe is very strange. I could see that happening.
Man.
What about Dustin Johnson? We're jumping into our live bros now.
Yeah, yeah. So he
our
is
live, laugh, love bros.
I've always got the vibe that he is like asleep while he's awake, right? Yeah, he's very docile.
Not a lot going on at the moment. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah. So I could see like a Depeche Mode, just you know, very mumbly, mumblecore stuff for him. I don't know. What do y'all think there?
I actually, for Dustin Johnson, I think it, like, for him, it's going to be one that, like, it's a song that it's a duet that someone else made him sing. And it's like, he's only singing the parts that's like he jumps in every once in a while with just like the, yeah, yeah.
Like, backgrounds. Okay. Mm-hmm,
yeah. But it's a song that like someone else is making him sing.
So like the karaoke track is just playing the main vocal and he's just the backup.
Yeah.
I like that.
Like, like Paulina's up there singing, like, or like it's like Grease or something. And he's like, tell me more. Like
100%.
Was it love at first sight? Like,
yep.
Yeah.
He checks the box so he doesn't get yelled at. I get that.
Yeah. But like, he's just not into it.
We've got so many more that we could do, but I think we should get to at least two more. Just looking at the clock here. And Nikki, I'm going to save your boy for last, so you can do that one. But what about Patrick Reed before we get to who I know Nikki's thinking of?
Oof.
Oh, I was thinking of Patrick Reed, but I...
Oh, you were? I'm sorry. I thought Tito.
Oh, but I know anyway. Which one.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the most horrific thing I can think of? maybe like... Beautiful People by Marilyn Manson, but he doesn't break eye contact with the waitress. Or like Hurt by Johnny Cash, and it's too real, where you're like, oof, he's going through it. You know what I mean?
Either that or like he gets up there and he sings like a full on like Catholic choir boy song, like in like a falsetto the entire time.
Like Kyrie Eleison or I don't know, something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could also see him just like bringing up a ukulele or something. Just something that it's not good for anybody. Nobody wants it. You know, it is not a consensual karaoke performance. It's not consensual. It's just a bad vibe for everybody.
Nobody's going to have a good time with it. Like,
nah.
Oh, man. I'm seeing all of this for sure.
He's just golf's punching bag. I love it. That guy sucks.
Careful, careful. He might sue you.
Sorry.
He might sue you for saying that.
But go dogs. Yeah.
He might sue you. All right. And we got to actually, okay. These will be quick. I know you wanted to do two more, but we got to do at least two more. Because we got to do Tiger and we got to do one more. We got to do Tiger because we got to know like,
Are we talking 07 Tiger? Are we talking...
Because I think they're two different things. Like, I think...
There's very different things.
Yeah, I think 07 Tiger would sing a very different song than, like, current dad Tiger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Still, sneaky fun, you know. Yeah. Especially, like, he's obviously so good at media and stuff now, but, you know, he can still kind of get down and be a blast. So he's probably doing something... He's doing whatever the big bangers are. He was doing Yeah back in 05 and nailing Luda's verse.
Yep.
Watch out, my outfit's ridiculous, you know? Now he's probably graduated a little bit to Treasure by Bruno Mars.
Oh, that's a good... That's a
still fun, still a little, you know, tint of dad vibes.
Yeah.
But like a good time.
Yeah.
Maybe Kiss. Maybe Kiss by Prince.
Oh, I could see that. Ooh. Yeah. I could see that. Okay, last one. I need to know if Greg Norman got up there to do karaoke.
Yeah.
What is he going to sing?
Oof, there's several different aspects to him. Baby Shark obviously would crush if he did that. Everyone would laugh a lot.
Yeah.
Money Talks by AC/DC. Would be pretty funny right now, I feel like. He's just handing it out.
It would be pretty funny, yeah. insensitive, you know, also, yes, but funny.
Uh-huh, for sure. Yeah, the Saudi national anthem would be funny. Down Under. Down Under by Men at Work. I'm sure he's probably done that in America and people lost their mind. Mm-hmm. Or the Survivor theme song with the didgeridoo. No lyrics, but if you just stood up there, I'd appreciate it. I don't know. There's options there. I think Baby Shark would be the one that I was like, if you do this, it would be very funny. But that's one that's funny for the first chorus. Then you're like, oh God, please
yeah,
stop.
Yeah, he can't sing. Yeah. He can't sing the whole thing. Like, you got to be like, and that's it for me, folks. And yeah.
That's it. Yep.
Yeah.
And then the karaoke host.
He could pay off the karaoke host. Yeah.
Right. Oh, man. That's I could see all of that happening, and I also never want to see any of that happen.
So, yeah, that feels like a good live marketing tool. Is to do like karaoke parties after around, you know, and just see what these guys do.
Well, you have to figure that at some point they're going to run out of bands that actually want to come play this nonsense, and they're going to be like, you know what, we're just going to do an open karaoke, open mic, and here's Greg.
Yeah, for sure.
And by the end of it, it's everybody hurts because they're all drunk and sad singing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's probably Phil, actually. That's probably Phil up there at the end, drunkenly singing, Everybody Hurts.
He's just lamenting about him needing to work on himself, as he has been for the last. Like, yeah, there's a lot I need to do.
Yeah, he has so many notes in his phone that are just like pre-written, ready to go.
Yeah.
I already got something written for that. Sorry, kind of.
Right. Right. We'll talk about next time we have you on, Aaron, and I hope that you are interested in coming back on because we loved having you. We'll talk about the meditation apps that perhaps are on people's phones, and Phil is probably in need of one of those.
Yeah, for sure.
St. Andre Golf is the social media follow. You can find Aaron and his entire team all over everywhere, especially TikTok and Instagram. And then stay tuned for whatever the big launch is going to be. And Aaron just gave us a little bit of a tease earlier in the show. StAndre.golf is the website, and they are going to be launching soon. You can sign up. I did. Nikki did. Your email right there to get more information. Aaron, thanks so much for coming on. Nikki, thanks so much for introducing all of us to Aaron. Aaron, anything you want to leave our listeners with as a teaser for what's coming up for St. Andre?
Nothing specific. Yeah, follow along. Got a lot of great stuff coming. Got a lot of videos just ready to go that I'm excited about. Definitely hit us on TikTok. So I think we're shadow banned because we did some fake nudity. And TikTok didn't love it. So hit us up over there. We need it desperately. And yeah, thanks a ton for having me on. Had a blast.